Governor Charlie Baker's administration is changing how it designates the color-coded coronavirus risk level in Massachusetts cities and towns, and it's pushing for schools to get more students back in person. Baker says the changes add more nuance to the metrics. They take into account a community's population and positive test rate, and they raise the rate of transmission needed to label a community green, yellow, or the highest risk red. With those changes, the number of municipalities currently designated as red has dropped from 121 to 16. For more on the changes and how they could affect the schools, we turn to WBUR education reporter Carrie Young. Carrie, 121 communities were high-risk red under the old system. Under the new, it's 16. Are the changes a more accurate measure of the risk of virus transmission?
Well, state leaders say that the changes are more of a clearer way of characterizing the risk level now. One administration official today said that the previous way of calculating risk was more of a blunt instrument because it didn't really consider a community's population level. And so now there will be different thresholds, and that's going to be based on the size of a community to determine whether it's going to be labeled green, yellow, or red. So the new calculation does significantly lower the number of communities in the red, like you mentioned, but actually, one thing that we heard from the state education commissioner today was that even if your community is listed red, school buildings should stay open, he said, unless there is evidence that coronavirus spread is happening inside the school itself.
And what's their reason for saying that?
Well, first, they cited a lot of studies that suggested that schools haven't become super spreading locations. In fact, in Massachusetts, there aren't really many that they know of, actually, schools that have shown to be or to have transmission inside. And they said that the benefits of learning in person, whether that's school meals or access to nurses, the mental health benefits of being around other kids and teachers, or even just the better quality instruction that comes with being in person, that all of that really far outweighs the risks of potential COVID infection. And this was something that Dr. Mary Beth Miotto reiterated at the media event today. She's a pediatrician in Worcester, and she's also the president of the Massachusetts chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
We cannot downplay the risk of infection, but youth who attend school and who are reminded gently to wear masks, socially distance, and wash their hands may actually be much safer from viral transmission in school than when unsupervised in the community.
So what happens with districts that choose to stay with all remote learning?
Well, that's something that we don't have a solid answer on right now, actually. There is a balance that state leaders have to maintain with local school committees, who technically are the decision makers on reopening policy. The state can only really provide guidance in most situations, which is what they're doing here. But they can put pressure on districts to follow that guidance. Here's how Education Commissioner Jeff Riley describes this landscape.
We have a responsibility and obligation to make sure that folks are following the guidance to the greatest extent possible. And if people start deviating it, certainly we'll address that individually, but we do also respect what happens locally.
Now, from what we've seen in the past from the department, when districts aren't following state guidance closely enough, the state has been threatening, and in some cases, they've actually been conducting policy audits, which are somewhat labor-intensive. But from what I've been told, there aren't any penalties associated with
that. Do you have a sense of whether this will persuade districts to reopen classrooms any sooner and any more fully?
You know, it really depends on the district and the community and how each school committee feels about the risks and the benefits. I talked to Glenn Kucher about this today. He's the executive director of the Massachusetts Association of School Committees. And he said that he can see how the message from today's press conference and the new calculations when it comes to community risk levels and how all of that could help parents feel a little bit more at ease about the idea of in-person learning.
For a growing number of school committee members, this will give them greater flexibility to argue that it's safe to go back to school, which will accommodate most of the parents that they are hearing from or that we are hearing from. I don't know how it's going to affect the teachers.
Now, the teachers, the leaders, I should say, of the Massachusetts Teachers Association, they tell me that they are not actually opposed to in-person learning. But to do that safely, they argue that there needs to be more testing and more funding for things like air quality upgrades and PPE.
So clarify the fact that no matter what districts decide to do in terms of bringing kids back, they'll still be able to have the remote option for those children whose families don't feel comfortable having them in school during the pandemic. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. If families do want to keep learning remotely, they'll still have the opportunity to do that.
WBUR's Carrie Young, thank you.
You're welcome.